We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit
mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
This is a WGNS Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers.
Since 1947.
This is a WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
You're tuned to WGNS on this Tuesday morning, today, the 13th of January. And now joining us in studio, we have Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Scott. Thank you, man. I'm very much always enjoy up here on the radio with you, so thanks for having me.
Man, there's a lot going on right now, it seems like, in the county.
It is.
It's a busy time.
Yeah, I mean, it's election time, so all 21 commissioners are up, county mayor's race is up, and the sheriff's race, so it's a big time for Rutherford County in leadership.
It definitely is. And if anybody has any questions for us, you can feel free to text those in, 615-893-1450. Mentioning all those races, the sheriff's department, they've got not only a race, but they've got, I guess, to figure out a way to build or add on to, I don't know what they're going to do, a new jail at some point.
Yeah, that's a big issue coming up. I mean, it's a high dollar endeavor, and but right now, you know, I know the mayor came and said, you know, $400 million. I mean, nobody really knows how much it's going to cost. I mean, it could be less. It could be a lot more. I mean, we don't even know where it's going to be built at, and we haven't even had architect or any, you know, prices or any of that. So it could be really high, but be honestly, it's kind of nervous to me, because right now the county owes in debt $500 million.
Wow. Is that on just a bunch of different bonds, or what is that on?
Yeah, that's what our debt is, and you're talking about doubling it. And the other thing that's not even talked about too much is our need for a high school. So that's probably going to be around $150 million. So you're looking at over $500 million in borrowing money. Now, our finance director, he's pretty creative, and I've talked to him, and, you know, we feel like on the jail that we can probably borrow $300 million without a tax increase. And if we do a school with that, that's going to be a tax increase. There is a way to do it without a tax increase, but it would hurt the schools on taking money from certain areas, especially like maintenance and projects, which I'm against that. So,
man, when you look at the cost of building like a new school, I mean, three, four years ago, that cost was closer to that $40 to $60 million bracket, and now we're way over that. I mean, costs have gone up everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, we did Rockville. I think Rockville is around $80 million.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little bit more.
And that's a huge school.
Yeah, and it's already full. So, and, you know, the thing about, I know you on your program have heard about the students lower, but like 100 students or something, but that's still, you know, from 1,200 to, you know, 1,050 to 1,100 students. That's still a lot of students.
Now, do we know what grade they're seeing less enrollment in, or is that overall? I mean, when you say 100 students less, is that overall, or are there certain grades that are seeing this drop off?
Yeah, I think they've seen middle school, or not middle school, but kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
elementary, I should say that. So I see them in there, but, you know, it's our school, you know, of course, you know this after all the years you've been doing this, is our schools are 75% of our budget.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, that's a huge amount.
It is.
You know, that's over, you know, $500 million. I mean, it's just, and we got over 50 schools. And you can just imagine the maintenance on that. That's, you know, just think that for a minute, you know, but you're talking about all these schools and all these kids. But, you know, we're a great county. I mean, you know, we got good schools. Our schools had high grades from the state. So that's a testament to they're doing their job. I mean, our teachers are incredible. Our school board's good. Jimmy Sullivan, to me, would have been a great leader, and I don't think they're going out here saying, you know, I want building for this, building for that. I think they're really trying to address the needs that we have. And I'm very high on our teachers. And I just feel that if you do a good job and you're getting recognized, we're doing our part. All right, we're doing our part to fund them and to keep them in schools, and they're doing their part to educate our children.
Yeah, definitely so. And again, Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris on the air with us. You know, when you look at schools and you said that, you know, like kindergarten, the number of students may be down a little bit. It makes sense, because when I think about children as young as, you know, that age group, kindergarten students, those are younger families. So moving to Murfreesboro with a young family, that's hard to do because costs are going up, like we mentioned, everywhere, which means affordability of housing.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I started as a commissioner in 2018, we were like 340,000. I think it's 400,000 now, if not more. So, yeah, it's almost becoming to where how can you afford to live here, you know? And then you look at like our police officers and sheriff's department, you know, some of these guys live out of county because they can't afford to live here.
Yeah, and a lot of them are working two jobs.
Yes.
I mean, that's definitely not unusual, but you go a county over, a few counties over, depending on which direction, and the cost of a house, $100,000, $200,000 less in some of those areas.
Yeah, I mean, with the high interest rates right now, how could you afford?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's kind of like me and Susie, my wife, you know, we're like, hey, you know, I kind of want to look at another house, you know, because our house values went up so much. And I was like, man, we just be spinning wheels because we couldn't, you know, we'd pay just as much for a lesser house.
Yeah, when you look at the interest rates and everything. Payment. Yeah, because, it, you know, for a while there, we got kind of spoiled with that 2.75 to 3% range of loan, the interest rate, and then all of a sudden goes up to 7.5, and I don't know what it is today. I'm going to guess around 6.5 to 7.
Yeah,
but man, that makes a difference in the cost and your monthly your mortgage expense. I mean, it goes way up.
Oh, it's ridiculous how much it goes up. And you know, I'm in the construction business, and I do a lot of builders that are corporate builders, and these are big time builders, and they're cutting their manpower by 50%.
Wow.
And they're cutting their starts way down. So, you know, our company is seeing a big dip, and we got a lot of inventory here right now. So I think it's going to be a buyer's market. I really do. But a lot of these big builders who are just being given so many discounts trying to sell houses, you know, I think they're going to stop doing that and slow down until these interest rates drop.
Yeah, and these, you know, as we're talking about construction, like you mentioned, these costs carry over into commercial construction, which means business construction, and then also the building of things like schools. And then also you have a new, what is it, an ambulance station / not mortuary, but
forensic center.
That's, yes, right. But the forensic center, that's underway right now. I mean, that construction is happening right now in Smyrna.
Yeah, and you know, and the forensic center, it's not a mayor thing. This is a Pettus Reed, Carl Hudgens, Diane. This has been trying to go on for so long, Scott, and then it's finally, you know, going forward. I think Bill Ketchum was real big on this, but you know, Joe beat him, and so Joe's he's the mayor when this is going down. But man, Pettus has been fighting forever for this, you know, and it's spending, you know. I mean, we have a $20 million transfer station, $15 million forensic center. I mean, that's a lot of spending, and I'm kind of want to put a hold on it, but you know, that's part of growing county. You got to have these things.
Yeah, and when you look at the county, you look at the growth rate, and then you look at county offices and county government, you got to wonder, is there enough office space for all of the county government? And one of the things the county looks to be moving forward with is the purchase of the old Bank of America building on East Main. I guess that's about 350 feet away from the courthouse or so, but they're looking at you know, moving forward with buying that, renovating and doing a total overhaul of that building.
Yeah, you're talking $16-17 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a big undertaking. And, but, yeah, we have the Goldstein building is it's in bad shape. And Alan Farley and the election commission, they got to have some space. I mean, yeah. They have been patient and, you know, codes. And I think, you know, Commissioner Rick Hall, he suggested that we find a lot less expensive buildings on the square, but off the square, and actually off the square. But, you know, it's this building is a lot of commissioners are for it. A lot mm-hmm. of them are not, you know, and it's just the thing about me is the renovated prices concerns me.
Well, but, I mean, it's like double. Looking at, I guess, buying it for $9 million, then the cost went, I guess they negotiated down to around $8 million.
Yes,
8.25, somewhere around that category, and then the cost to completely overhaul that building, well, it's going to add up to around $17 million.
Yeah, you know, that price could come in cheaper. Yeah. You know, it could come in higher. I think the bid from the architect is high, so but it's a we're in a situation where we have to. We're growing.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to buy the State Farm building.
Yeah, and that's a big building.
Yeah, in 2020, I got the letter of intent from the commission for $25 million, and State Farm was going to give $25 million. So we offered them $50 million, and they're like, oh, you know, that sounds good. And then they come back on $80 to $90 million, you know, and it's like, well, we can't afford that. So the people that own it, you know, they're getting to retirement age, and State Farm is their lease is up, so – you know, I'd love to have that. I think that would be multi-division, multi-department.
And not only is that a big building, it's a decent-sized piece of property as well. When you look at the Goldstein building on the square, is the county, would they continue to own that if they bought that Bank of America building and then renovated Bank of America? Are they going to continue to own the old Goldstein building, or would they sell it? What would they do?
Well, as far as I can only speak for myself, I think the mayor wants to put the museum over there. But I'd like to sell it. I mean, that's where I stand on it. And then, you know, of course, you got the historic and, you know, history of it. But, you know, I think somebody could come in there, restaurants or you know, anything, but they got to fix it up, you know. That thing's got it's way behind, you know, electrical and you know, some of those floors, man, if you put a marble down it'd go left, you know.
Yeah, I've been in there many times, and it definitely needs a little help there, and that's not going to be cheap either, just like the cost to renovate, you know, the 1977 whatever year it was built, Bank of America building. I mean, all this stuff has dollar signs with it.
Yeah, it'll cost millions to fix that and get it up to date. And some of the stuff in there is so old you can't even get the parts anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, you know, I don't like to sell any county stuff.
Yeah.
And because we're growing and you know, when you go and you try to find land, it's so outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so high. And, you know, we're just simply saying, okay, we're growing 7 people a day. It's going to catch up. It's catching up now, you know, and we're doing something. You know, it's like the Bank of America, John Harney and Jeff Phillips, Commissioner Phillips, went and done that deal. And, you know, and it's I appreciate their insight. And, you know, and John, you know, he did a good job on it and helping the county. And I just feel like, you know, we're trying to work together, a bunch of us, and we're trying to, you know, grow with the county. But it is got headaches, man. I mean, you know, just the cost of land and buildings are just outrageous.
You know, over the next 20 or so years, we're looking at a property increase, not property increase, but the population increase to where we're going to be sitting at 600 and someday 700,000 residents in Rutherford County. I mean, thinking ahead, do we have the infrastructure for that, or are we prepared for that?
No, I mean, you know, that's the problem is we haven't got the infrastructure in. And that's one thing, you know, when, you know, I'm running for mayor is We have got to work together with developers. We need to have infrastructure in before we start these subdivisions. And I think that's one of the things we're falling behind on. And I also think that our highway department, you know, with Greg Brooks, and he might disagree with me. I mean, I'd like to see them help us build roads. You know, they focus on maintenance. He does an incredible job, but I'd like to see us build roads and work with the city as well. So these are kind of things that that I vision and see, you know, to go forward on that. Now, the buildings for employees, yeah, I mean, that is a problem, and we're going to have to address it because government is growing, and unfortunately, I mean, as a conservative, I don't, you know, like that, but unfortunately, when you got a population explosion like we're having, yeah, it's going to, everything is growing.
Right now in the county, whenever somebody builds a new house, they have to make sure the land perks so that they can have a septic system. But at some point, you've got to ask, I mean, do we need a sewer system that's county operated in the county? And if so, what kind of cost would we be looking at there?
That had to be $100 million probably. I mean, that's a huge undertaking. Plus, you know, you got to understand too, Scott, we got some really bad land here. You know what I mean? We got a bunch of rock. And I think that's, you know, that's why you see Plan Rutherford.
Yeah.
You know, and Jeff and Pettis and the planning department are trying to come up with a plan because some of these things won't, you know, won't perk.
Yeah.
And, you know, also, you know, the city has the sewer right now, and they're getting close to maximizing that. So there's going to be some serious planning coming up real soon.
When you look at the north end of Rutherford County, recently approved, I guess this is still all in the rough draft, but a huge multi-purpose property, you know, from housing to office space, retail space, all of that is in those planning stages now for a new property in Laverne. And that property, I mean, how does that fit into the picture? Because that's going to equal more residents on the northern end of Rutherford County. And then they're talking about a TIF or tax increment financing to help out that project. How is all that going to play a role in our future?
You're talking about like the town center and all the things that just went through the commission?
Well, yeah.
Like downtown in your building and all that?
Oh, no. I mean in Laverne on the north end of Rutherford County. When you look at...
I thought that was a good idea, though. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring some store. It's going to bring some stores. It's not just apartments, and you know, it's going to bring some stores, some nice looking, you know, buildings. I think that that these cities, Myrna and Laverne, are trying to update their square and town centers and trying to beautify them. And I like that. I thought Jason did a good job on presenting that. And so I see that as a good thing.
And then, of course, we have, like you mentioned, downtown Murfreesboro, our building and this whole block right here. I mean, you're looking at even more housing there, more office, more retail space. But I think we're only going to see more of this.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I always believe that we should protect our square. You know, it should be nice. You know, when we went through this, you know, some of the thing on the apartments, you know, I was concerned about that. But the townhouses and in the hotel,
yeah,
I was very much for. I mean, the storefronts and the bridge and all that here is something that I very much like. And, you know, Murfreesboro is trying to do something. I think they're going to do something with the church.
Yeah.
You know, where the holes in the ground. I think Murfreesboro's addressing that.
The original First Methodist?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know that's back in play. So, you know, we'll get rid of that and that'll look good. And you're talking about a nice restaurant there, you know. And I think we're doing the right things. I really do, you know, because we're such a growing county and we're such a rich county. And people say, oh, how do you know that? Well, we're growing and we got a good financial stable county. And, you know, since 2018, you know, we got a AAA rating, and a lot of people say, what is that? You know, that's saying that our county is very financial stable. And, you know, we had great finance directors like Lisa Nolan and Michael Smith. And, you know, we had good mayors. You know, we had Bill and we had Ernest Burgess. And those guys paved the way, you know, for a AAA rating. And I'm very proud of that, you know. And then – you know, we've just gotten better.
Yeah.
So people will invest in counties that have that highest financial stability.
You know, personally, I'm excited about some of these new buildings coming, you know, not just to Murfreesboro, but to Laverne as well. I mean, I think it's a good thing. And when you talk about the downtown Murfreesboro Square, I think when we start getting these multi-use buildings, I think if we get a hotel in downtown Murfreesboro, all these things, it's really going to play a role in helping, or I guess to invite in more tourists for one. And those tourist dollars are really good because that means we don't have to educate their children. They're just coming to visit.
Yeah. And you're talking, you know, our hotel motel tax and sales tax is, you know, a huge driving force in us in our affordability. So those are things that are very important as well. And we're having a lot of tourists. I think we had a good tourist. I think I was looking at our finance reports, and hotel motel tax is down a little bit, but that'll get back up. And sales tax is way above, you know, our projections. So I think we're going in the right direction. And, you know, Murfreesboro, I mean, people want to live in Murfreesboro, you know, and it's a great place. And it's Darren Gore and that council and Mayor McFarland, they do a good job.
We had Darren Gore on, I guess it was the last day before the new year or something, you know, one of those days right before New Year's. And he was talking about all the projects, all the construction, Cherry Lane extension, which I think would help out probably a lot of folks. I mean, that Cherry Lane extension connecting to I-840 and maybe even I-24, like they're talking, that would be big.
Yeah, I think that's a huge undertaking by the city, but it's been planning for a while, and I mean, it's aggressive, but I think it's absolutely necessary, and I think they're doing the right thing. And you know, Darren is an effective city manager, and I guarantee you, as long as I've known Darren, this is thought out very much.
It is, and I'm wondering, will TDOT approve that I-24 interchange that the city is seeking? Because I think if that occurred too, I think that'd be big.
I know the delegation's working on it pretty heavy, so I feel confident on that. So, but you know, then again, that's you're talking about state, so that's a whole different area.
Yeah, huge. But the traffic, that's the one thing that I guess does stand out to me. And if we had another interchange, of course, that's more, maybe, well, hopefully it would kind of alleviate some of the traffic in some areas. But the traffic situation is something that we got to look at.
And it's frustrating. You know, it's very frustrating. And you know, the thing with the home builders is I've been behind the home builders my entire life. And you know, I used to get mad when, you know, Mayor Carr was bashing them, and I'm like, hey, we got to have them.
Yeah.
You know, we got to work together. And I think that if we work with the home builders and the developers, I think they will help us alleviate some of this, you know, and us help them as well. It's get this infrastructure in before we start building these 200 lot subdivisions.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, if you go out there and Blackman Road, man, that's going to be a nightmare.
Well, and
it's
going to
be a nightmare.
The growth in that direction, I mean, that and South Church Street look like the fastest growing areas to me.
Yeah, they're on the map, they're dark red, which means they're high.
A lot denser population, a lot of housing.
But going out there to Buchanan Road and out there, that's growing too. That's considered going to be considered our next hotspot.
Do you foresee there ever being a metro form of government? Because I'm just thinking out loud, that it seems like the only way to really have a county sewer system and things like that would be to partner with each city. And I don't know. It seems like the metro form would be in that direction.
Well, I mean, do you think Nashville's run good? I mean, hey, they're metropolitan.
I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm just thinking that looks like the only path in order to get those things, you know, in order to have like a city sewer system, or, you know, I could go on and on, because you also have independently operated schools right now in the county and then in the city of Murfreesboro. Now, I know you don't in Smyrna and Laverne, but then you have independently operated, you know, the ambulance service, you know, EMS, you have the county, but the city doesn't have one, and nor do they have one in Smyrna and Laverne. So, I mean, you're also looking at, I guess, establishing a larger system overall, not only emergency-wise, but just everything.
Yeah, I mean, Metro has its positives and its negatives. I'm not for that. I think as a county, the way we run this county, I think we do a good job. You know, I think we work well with the cities. And, yeah, I mean, we had to have that relationship. Now, that is an option. And there might be, you know, there might be a push for that. I'm not for that.
Well, what scares me about that idea, I guess, more than anything, would be what would become of, for example, property taxes. Because in Nashville, their property taxes are pretty high, and they raised them right in the middle of COVID, of all things. But that's what my concern would be. You know, what's going to happen to the tax structure if something like that were to move forward?
Well, and don't quote me on the numbers, but I think Nashville is around 4.2 tax rate, and we're 1.8.
Huge difference.
You know, and so you're looking at it, it's such a huge burden on the taxpayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I'm proud of is, and, you know, when it comes to property tax, that is such a volatile situation issue, everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you raise taxes and people go crazy.
Well, and especially if you're retired.
Yes.
And you've got a, you know, you no longer have a house. If you're in the ideal retirement situation, you're able to retire. You don't have a house payment anymore. And the last thing you want to think about is having, you know, a property tax burden that's as big as your former house payment was.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a bill going through, which has got some legs to it, is wanting to limit the amount of money that you can raise property taxes.
Wow.
And I like that. The problem is you're going to be looking at a situation because of revenues and because high cost and, you know, especially high growth areas like Rutherford County, you probably have to raise taxes every year.
Yeah.
And people ain't going to like that. Now, the maximum you could raise it is 3-4%. And, you know, that's what I don't want to do, you know. But then again, you look at hitting somebody, you know, like Mayor Carr did, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and 16, I mean, it was the highest rates. And I know how people just don't want to get that big hit.
And it is a
big
hit, yeah.
But 3%, I mean, you know, you're looking at, you know, CPI, you're looking, you know, at inflation, you're looking at these things that are growing every year, and you want to adjust, you know, adjust to that. But it's anytime you hear tax increase, mm-hmm. you know, that brings boiling blood.
Yeah. You know? Well, when you look at, let's say, a 2,000 square foot home that's in the city limits of Murfreesboro, and let's say that person is paying a total of, I don't know, just throwing a number out there, close to $3,000 a year in property taxes, you know, a portion going to the city, then the other portion going to the county. Well, if we had a metro form of government, then everybody who lives in the county would suddenly see their property taxes, I would guess, you know, come close to doubling all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, it had to.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to. And then, you know, you got to come, who's going to control this? Who's going to run this? You know, you're looking, it's not an easy undertaking.
No.
You know, but it's an option. But yeah. It's, I mean, you're thinking, I mean, Scott, I like how you're thinking, but, you know, it's, that's a huge, huge endeavor.
And a scary one.
Yeah.
Again, Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris on the air with us this morning. If you have any questions, feel free to text those in, 615-893-1450. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come right back. Again, 615-893-1450. Text in any kind of question you may have. It's 843 right now.
When I eat healthy, I can eat at Demas's. When I want to eat unhealthy, I can eat at Demas's. If I'm in the mood for pasta, I go to Demas's. If I want steak, I go there. It does not matter what I'm in the mood for. This is Peter Demas. The only thing we don't have is fried food. So it's very easy when you want to take a group out and there's that veto power person who's like, I don't want this. Well, we usually will have something that they want because we have such variety on our menu. The only thing we don't have is fried food. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. our prices are as good or better than the box stores. I don't think you'll do better by shopping online than you would by coming in. Something new we've just added to our repertoire is drum repairs. You can have drums cut, covered, rewrapped, new hardware. We will fix them, make them look like new again. I'd like to thank you for coming by to see us again at 2762 South Church, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den. Thank you very much for being our customers.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, The Good Neighbor Network.
It's time to dig through the trash the right way. Here's Rocky the Raccoon with today's Recycled Minute, courtesy of RecycleRightTN.com.
Hey neighbors, it's Rocky the Raccoon. Here's another idea on what you could do with all those plastic bottles you go through for drinking water. You could create an outdoor bowling set for the kids. You take 10 bottles or so and you fill them up with water or sand. Then you line them up in the driveway, give the kids a ball, and let them roll them right towards those water bottles. It's low-cost family fun that reuses plastic bottles and keeps little recyclers smiling. For RecycleRightTN.com, I'm Rocky the Raccoon.
And that's today's Recycled Minute with Rocky the Raccoon. Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRightTN.com.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford County Commissioner Craig Harris in studio with us this morning, talking about different things within the county, new projects, possible new jail at some point. Now, I know County Mayor Joe Carr said that this new jail is going to have to be built within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's being said right now, and I think they have a committee that they're put together and discuss this. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Scott, I'd like to see every single option. You know, what can we eliminate? What can we do? But, you know, it's kind of like Sheriff Fitzy said, you know, we're kicking the can down the road. And I'm concerned with building a jail and building a school. Stewart's Creek is to the seams. I mean, it's busting. And we got to have a school, and you got to weigh each one, you know, and which one do you want to do?
Yeah.
And okay, we got to do both. Okay, let's do both. How much are we going to raise taxes? And that's what our county citizens want to know is, hey, how much are we going to raise taxes on this? And right now, we don't know. I mean, that jail could cost more than $400 million. I mean, I think it'll cost more than four, but I don't know that. I mean, until we do the architect and do the designs and find the land, the mayor put out there $400 million. I mean, I don't know if that's, like I said, we don't know what it'll cost.
Now, would that be adding on or building on the property the Sheriff's Department already has? Or would that be building an entire new Sheriff's Department altogether and jail elsewhere?
No, I think that $400 million would be building a jail elsewhere. I would like to see how much it costs to add on, you know, but then that jail's old. We're running through. I think we had an elevator go down and we couldn't find parts for it, you know, And a lot of this stuff is, it's old, and we got to address it. I mean, we've kicked this can down the road for a long time, and it's our job to look at every option and try to reduce costs but not reduce quality.
Where would you build a jail? I mean, if you're going to build a brand new jail on a different piece of land, where would that be?
I think one of the areas they're proposing is over by the Correctional Work Center, and I think there's some land that's in a trust, and they're trying to buy that, and I'm just telling you something, that's just an option. But, you know, they're looking for other areas.
You're on the Ethics Committee, and it seems like that's kind of been a hotbed of activity. There's been a lot going on through the Ethics Committee by way of complaints being filed. You've got the property assessor situation with the property assessment office. Then you have the situation or the complaint about the county mayor, both happening the same year. All this stuff is just boiling right now.
Well, first, thank you for putting me on the spot, Scott. yeah, we just had an ethics committee. I think Mayor Carr had 7 complaints against him, and 2 were sent to the DA for referral. The thing about being on ethics is, you know, that's a very important committee. And I think some of these complaints had some serious consideration. We needed to look at them, and some were not. I went in there to recuse myself, but then on the last two, I just felt that I had to address it because I felt that they were serious. But then, you know, sometimes we got to be careful. I mean, you know, Mayor Carr is a target, and we got to be careful. Now, as far as Rob Mitchell goes, I think that's a really serious situation. I don't know. There are so many people, opinions about this. People that think Rob Mitchell's doing a good job. You got people like Joe saying, you know, it's dire. It's going to cost millions. I think that once the county commission approved to do a third party appraisal, I'd like to see us do a 10% and maybe get an idea of what the error rate is, because, you know, the comptroller said 25%. I don't believe it's nowhere near that, but I'm not sure if it's on the 5% neither.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do for our citizens is let's do that audit and see where we're at.
Now, the audit done by the state comptroller, the county got a bill for that, over $200,000 or so. How much is it going to cost for an independent consulting firm to do their own price comparison, to do their own evaluation of properties to see if they're correct, if they're not correct, and to see what percentage of them are correct? How much is that going to cost?
Well, think about this. So the comptroller charged us 250 some or 230, 250, I can't remember. And they did 8,600 parcels. We have over 130,000 parcels. It would be millions.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. If we do a 10%, you know, I think it'll be somewhere around the quarter of a million, somewhere around that area. But it's kind of like when they do polls, you know, like we do presidential polls, we got 300 million people, and then all of a sudden they do 2,000 people, and they're telling you how people are going to vote. So that mathematical process will probably go in effect also. So I really would like to see it in that way. You got Rob, who's this fighting for his reputation, you know, and Rob's done a good job. And I think this petty fight between him and Joe is hurt our county. And we got to get past this. And those two very much don't like each other. Very much an ugly divorce. And I'd like to see this stop, and I'd like to get back to business. But we need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, the county deserves to know if their property taxes are correct. And so that's one of the things that I'm looking at is to see what that error rate is. I believe in Rutherford County. I'm being honest with you, I'm a taxpayer, just like you are, and I want to know what my property is. Is it right? And I asked the IT department to do a website, go to our website and put your property in, and it'll tell you if you were on that comptroller's list. And then it'll tell you why you're on that list, you know, additional building or square footage. And I would instruct people to do that.
I looked through that list and I did see quite a few homes that were newly built, and then they were sold in 2025. So you had the first time homeowner living there, but it was a new construction. And I don't know how they go about putting that on the property tax list. But from what I remember in the past, if I looked up property records for a newly built property to get more information on it, it was listed just the same as it was in that state comptroller's office. In other words, it wasn't fully on that property tax roll list until the following year or the following, I forgot what month it is they put them on there. But that part of it looked normal to me. I guess I wasn't surprised at that portion of the investigation, if you would.
Kind of like the way it was, is you felt that was okay?
It's the only way that I've known whenever I look at properties. Well, if it's a brand new property that was just built that year, then sold that year, it still had the previous information on it from the previous owner, be it the home builder, whoever it was who owned it, who built the house and then sold it.
Yeah, the thing about that is reappraisal,
yeah,
which is coming up. And I mean, how can it not go up in value?
Obviously, it would.
Yeah, yeah, so you're looking at, I think the last time we did a reappraisal, you know, in my district, mm-hmm, it was like somewhere close to 20%,
yeah,
you know, went up. So, and I know,
percentage.
It was in 20, I know it was a 20 to 30% increase in the county. So those values go up. I think it's, a lot of us don't understand the appraisal process. I mean, the thing we look at is my house I bought it for $100,000, and the next year it's 120.
Yeah.
And then that's, oh my God, I'm getting taxed. No, you're not getting taxed. But if we do raise taxes, it will be on that value.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I think that there's to blame on both sides. I really don't know, Scott. I mean, I think this appraisal third party will help alleviate some of these fears, and I know it'll definitely help me.
What are the complaints against Joe Carr? Because the property assessor's office, I mean, that was pretty well publicized. We heard a lot about that for several months, in fact. But on the mayor's side and the complaints filed against him, what were those about?
Are you talking about on the ethics?
On the ethics. One was about selling honey in the office.
Selling honey. Gosh, if I can remember. A lot of the main two was smearing Rob Mitchell. And Rob was complained that the mayor was in somehow, lack of a better word, cahoots with the comptroller.
Allowed access into the county assessor's office.
And then there was one where he was aiding and abetting the whistleblowers, helping them and bringing them forward, which he categorically denied, and then working with our lobbyist, who is head of the appraisal association, and working with them. One of them was where one of the mayor's employees called the person who put in the complaint his employer. That was one of them. Let's see. One was leaking information on employee application or some. I think, you know, Austin Maxwell's son, I think he was trying to focus on him and not on the others. And one was trying to turn the vote for Commissioner P on ethics against Rob Mitchell. So those were the ones on there, which those were public. I mean, I'm not saying anything that the public don't already know, but I think he got referred. I know he got referred on the employee.
Yeah.
You know, I think he got referred on that. And there was also another one. But, you know, the mayor, you know, there's some. I thought the mayor explained it well, and, you know, and I thought he did good on that. But, you know, there's some of them I just had a problem with. And it doesn't mean that he's guilty or not guilty. It's just simple, hey, let's do what we can. The DA is more qualified and has more resources to do that. And that's one of the things that we want them to do.
We only have like 2 minutes left. But as we close this morning, the landfill, that's another issue that keeps coming up. And the cities, plural, county, keep talking about figuring out what to do. I mean, we've got city filed a lawsuit, and then Middle Point filed I mean, there's just a lot happening there with the landfill and the landfill situation. What's next?
Yeah, and Mayor McFarland filed that lawsuit, and what's going on is that the landfill, which is public, has applied for a vertical expansion, which goes up. And so they're fighting that to make sure that don't happen. Now, I'm afraid that the county's starting to get into this lawsuit, you know, or some of these lawsuits. But, you know, Joe Carr's always said, I'm Republic this, Republic that. And that's just misleading, you know, that's just politics. But I think Mayor McFarland is really, he's pushing really hard to get rid of the landfill. I don't see expansion. I don't really see that happening. Now, the vertical thing, I don't really know what's going on with that. That's a TDOT thing. I could be wrong. I mean, they might have, Murfreesboro filed a lawsuit against TDOT. So I'm not sure on that. I don't want to comment on something I'm not sure on. But
is it TDEC?
TDEC, I'm sorry.
Again with us this morning, Craig Harris, County Commissioner for Rutherford County, and we're already out of time.
Man, I enjoyed it. Goes quick.
It does go really fast. I appreciate you joining us. If anybody has any questions for you, they can, I guess, reach out to you via emails. Probably one of the easiest ways.
Yes. CCOTINC@comcast.net.
You're tuned to WGNS Murfreesboro, and news comes your way next on WGNS.